Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Valentine's Day, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevevick.com. Valentine's Day, one of our favorites. You think about it, February is chock full of, right? It starts out with one of our absolute favorites, even though we didn't get to celebrate Groundhog Day properly. Valentine's Day, you got the Washington's birthday and the President's Day. You know, you got it all. It's very complete. I will give everybody the standard "don't screw this up" pep talk. Yeah, there's a couple of elements when it comes to Valentine's Day. Saint Valentine. I still use the Saint Valentine's. I'm not sure when that happened. You know, growing up, right? It was St. Valentine's. And I know it's terrible. It's actually a terrible story involving St. Valentine. But at some point along the way, it stopped being St. Valentine's Day. It just became Valentine's Day. But make the effort to do something. I know that they've jacked the prices of the flowers up to, you know, five times their usual price. I get it. But don't do something. Make an effort, and remember, do not make the worst possible mistake when it comes to Valentine's Day gifts for your wife or girlfriend. A vacuum or a dishwasher, do not make that mistake. I guarantee you, it'll take years to undo trying to foist, a household appliance over as a Valentine's gift. Doesn't work. It's a big mistake, big, huge. I got everything out of the way. Vegas, every year, that's the beauty of the, one of the extra bonuses of NHC. We're in Vegas and I get to go to the fashion show mall and pick out a piece of jewelry. It never fails. Yeah, I think we've done that about 5 years in a row. So she was thrilled. And I also got her a couple of Valentine sweaters. Oh, please. This is my wheelhouse, I got to tell you. Happy Valentine's Day. Hope everybody has fun with their significant other. Later today, lunches and dinners, romantic. I'm sure we'll have some Twitter reporting of engagements, right? It's a big night for engagements. All right. It's enough of that. We've got, it's also Magna 5 Day and much more. There's some very good racing today, and I don't want to lose track of the action at Turfway tonight. You got the two stakes, the Battaglia and the Cincinnati Trophy, three-year-old boys and girls. Tampa today, those races go off at 8:12 and 9:12 at Tampa today, 3:16 Eastern, that sixth race, the rather notable three-year-old seasonal debut, Gouverneur Morris, but he's hardly alone. That's a good group. So be aware. The Magna 5, if you're playing today, Laurel 8th, Gulfstream 7th, Golden Gate 3rd, Santa Anita 4th, Gulfstream 10th. So all four ovals involved. Laurel, Gulfstream, Golden Gate, Santa Anita. I keep calling it, that's funny, I keep calling it the Magna 5, Stronach 5. And there's a ton, actually, there's a ton of helpful information. I'd forgotten who the Beat the Host was going to be this week. It's Tom Quigley. So I went to ExpressBet first thing this morning, and in going to get the reminder that Quigley was hosting, the five information page is really full of terrific handicapping tools and information. You got Zoe Cadman. She looked at the a handful of races at Santa Anita today, including that fourth. Matt Dinnerman has got, he's got a price horse he likes in the Golden Gate third. And Brian Nadeau's ticket is there, and much more. So if you want a little extra handicapping support, it's at ExpressBet. Terrific cast today to go through the weekend. And, of course, the major focus will be at Fairgrounds. Hard not to get excited about tomorrow's Risen Star card, which has two Risen Stars for the price of one, and both deep, compelling fields. The Fairgrounds, the Mineshaft, the Rachel Alexandra, a big 14-horse field in the Al Stahl, Big Al, the Colonel Power. Then there's, I think, four maiden specials? And that heady allowance that features the $2 million Chestertown, who, I don't know. There's other horses in there, including, frankly, the stablemate. The ownership entry because of West Point, winning impression, the Dallas Stewart. Dallas has got the two outside horses in there, actually. Winning impression is the 1A, and Unthrottled's the 7. But Sharecropper has gotten plenty of conversation, speaking of Family Stall. Shake Some Action, Brad Cox. Ron, who I mentioned, the other Asmussen. There's a lot going on in that fifth race allowance. Goes off at 2:58 Eastern tomorrow. So the whole card starts at 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central. We'll talk to Marcus Hirsch in hour three. Marcus has got a busy morning on the backstretch at Fairgrounds. We'll talk to him around 11, I'm guessing, after Jay Privman joins us with the opening salvo from Derby Watch, the new Derby Watch, now featuring Marty McGee. Marty McGee and Jay, the revamped Derby Watch 2020. We'll start conversation this morning at Oaklawn, of course, Hammer. They're taking entries today for Monday. And what a nice holiday card they should have. The Southwest, the Biakoa, the Razorback. Hammer will give us some preview of the entries that are coming in. We touched on it yesterday. Should be a really good card Monday. Lots of good racing Monday. And we'll see what else Hammer's got in store for us. Oaklawn is also going to be a part of the conversation and part of the focus we have with Ed Peters, the player best known as Fantini at Derby Trail, or we've known Ed for from the time we started the website, and those who play against him on the contest websites as well. Ed Peters will join us in hour two. And in addition to Ed detailing his NHC experience, put in another nice run. In addition to that, Ed starting with opening weekend at Oaklawn, had, you know, basically sent up a flare for everybody at our website at Derby Trail, and the bias that was so noted. I mean, you know, you can argue about the degree of biases, and I know that it's a good topic, and certainly we hit on it plenty. And there's probably more bias thought or you know, moniker hung on racetracks than probably exists. There's probably less bias than thought. A lot of times a bias might be hinted at, but then upon further inspection, it turns out it's horses that, you know, won the way they were supposed to and were the horses that were likely to win. You know, if a race card starts off and you get three winners in the first four races that win on the front end, and then you go back and you look and you see, well, they were front runners or pressers and they were 2-1, you know, 7-2, 9-5. That's not a bias necessarily. What you're looking for, a bias, is when horses that have no business winning or hitting the board, you know, when 30-1 shots, you know, oh, he found courage. No, he didn't find courage. There was a conveyor belt. Oh, he got brave on the lead. No, he got carried by the racetrack. But, you know, that's what says bias, not logical horses winning the way it looked like they're supposed to win when you handicap the race. But anyway, no one is going to question what we had, particularly opening day at Oaklawn, and then, you know, on a decreasing basis into Saturday and Sunday. Ed was like a kid in a candy store, and he promptly started tracking everything and tracked every horse that was compromised those couple of days, particularly the first 2 days, lesser extent third day. Well, those horses are running back. And as I said yesterday about this conversation we're going to have with Ed Peters, they're not just running back. They're winning. They're hitting the board at big prices. And the horses that were beneficiaries of the track, they're getting beat at short prices. This is how you win. And so Ed is going to talk about what he does so you can copy it and take it home with you. So looking forward to, I've wanted Ed on the show forever. Nick Tamaro, who we missed terribly, of course, in Vegas. We'll talk to Nick in hour two. We'll talk to Ed DeRosa. Ed was there. Last year, Ed sat with us, but we didn't get a chance. Ed was all over the event center, meeting and greeting and trying to help Twin Spires players and BrizNet users. So we'll talk to Ed. James Scully in this first hour. We'll get James's ideas for the weekend. And what else? I mentioned Jay Pribman and colleague Marcus Hirsch. Brian Sanfratello. Brian Sanfratello will join us. So the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders. And we'll reiterate. What we discussed a little bit yesterday with Andy Simoff. Great to get Andy in. And feature someone whose whole life is involved in the sport. Professionally, with business that he runs, a transport company and trainer, owner, breeder, and everything else. So, Brian Sanfratello will specifically talk and wants to assuage concerned breeders that Governor Wolf will be rebuffed and they don't have to worry that the development fund won't be there when their Pennsylvania bred hits the racetrack in 2 years, 3 years, or next year. So, O'Brien Sanfratello as well. So, Hammer, James Scully, Nick Tamaro, Ed Peters, Ed DeRosa, got a pair of Eds, Jay Priven, Marcus Hirsch, Brian Sanfratello. Just got a note, and yesterday, or I think Wednesday, I mentioned that I was hoping that we'd get to Chad Schexnader, but you can get to Chad yourself with the Fairgrounds podcast show that he's been doing, and a lot of good. Him and Mikey going through the card, but also a half-hour interview with Steve Asmussen, who must have been in a chatty mood, and discuss all of his horses, including the Risen Star player. So can't get to Chad today, but you can get his opinions and Mikey's, the clocker, Mikey D. You'll get Marcus, and Marcus is certainly discerning. So look forward to plenty of opinions on the Fairgrounds action. Nick will do the cross-country pick five, which is Aqueduct 7th, Deep Allowance, the Tampa 8th, 9th, 10th, and the Tampa races, the 8th and the 10th are the stakes, are the Minaret and the Pelican. The 9th is a turf sprint that is maiden race that's pretty murky. It does have one notable element, which is the sister. I think it's that. Is it that race? Maybe not. There's I did see that Sweet Damsel, Owen Hardy, has got the latest. I guess that's earlier in the card. The latest product of Sweet Damsel, of course, the dam of Colonel John and Mr. Hot Stuff. And Owen Hardy seems to get all of the family members out of her. Let me confirm that. Huh. There it is. Sweet Baby Girl. Second start out of a very notable dam. Rudy Brissett's got the Catch a Glimpse sister in that race, too. Let's take a break. Let's get going. Weekend preview. Hammer first.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's BYK to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races. Trying to see if I know Hammer has got a Hammer can't just sit at the office at Oaklawn and get the call. He's got to angle into a different part of the building because apparently his cell reception for whatever reason is awful. So he goes down the hall. So Hammer. Either Hammer momentarily, or we will jog to Scully first and then circle back to Rick. And the racing office activity today, of course, with the Monday card. And actually, Hammer has asked, he said, the racing office stuff is going to be involved on Fridays. So that's why we sort of jogged him forward to the opening. He's moved steadily from hour three into hour two and now hour one. So it looks like we're going to go to Scully first. All right, we'll do that, and plenty to talk about with James, considering the closing of the Derby futures and the Kentucky Derby report. That you really should be, the two things to weekly check, three really, between Countdown to the Crown from Jeremy, Scully's Kentucky Derby report, and Derby Watch with Jay and now Marty. And I guess you got to get Derby Dozen into with I guess there's no I guess there's no stopping any of those. One area we're not going to, I got a feeling we're not going to get much of a chance to delve into from the weekend is at Laurel. And I do want to make sure that everybody's aware you got a very nice slate of stakes. And it starts in the fourth at 150 with the Campbell, which is super competitive. Then the 3-year-olds, the Wide Country for the fillies, and then the boys' turn, the Miracle Wood, the Barbara Fritchie, and the General George, the two grade three sprints. Firenze Fire should be pretty tough in the General George. I thought the Fritchie was a little bit more open. Seguero Row, need supervision, okay. But the 3-year-old races at the Campbell is crazily competitive with Always Mining, Someday Jones for Will Schwartz, mainline, and Monongahela, and there's actually also a couple of prices that are not far out of it. Eddie Coletti, Wait For It, and Forewarned for Uriah St. Louis. Very, very competitive group of seven in the Campbell. There's James Scully to start us off. Scully, good morning.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, Steve. Good morning to you.
And to you and Gigi. And what'd you get, Gigi? Although maybe you should keep quiet. It might get back to her.
No, I got her a box of chocolates, and I gave her some money for some perfume she wanted. So she bought it, and I gave her the money for it.
I'll give that an 8. I'll give it an 8 on the Valentine's Day evaluations score. Not bad, not bad. Tina, I discovered she loves chocolate covered cherries, but don't go to the pharmacy and buy, you know, the $3 chocolate covered cherries. There's a chocolatier in Utah. Husband and wife, Mrs. Calabash, Mrs. I think it's Callahan's. I'll look it up. It's the reputation of the best chocolate covered cherries in the country. Obviously, it's too late. You can't order them for instant delivery. But she has gone berserk for these. I got them maybe about 2 years ago. I found them, and I get her those for, you know, for birthday and special occasion type, and she loves it, dark chocolate or milk. So
fantastic.
There you go. I'll tweet out that link, and frankly, the rest of their lineup is pretty impressive too. Good job, Scully. Before we talk about the weekend, Risen Stars, and so much more, the Kentucky Derby report. Give us your feelings about the San Vicente and the Sam Davis, as well as the way the future wager closed.
Well, the San Vicente went off 30 minutes, about 6:30, 30 minutes after the future wager closed, and Nadal was shut down. He was the actual favorite. Both he and Max Tisselaw were 8-1, but he was the actual 8.50-1 favorite. And in the San Vicente, really got a challenge from Ginobili on the front end. Really responded to the challenge in the stretch, and you know, one going away by about a length. But it was a hard test. Didn't necessarily, you know, finish that fast in the stretch. We only gave him like an 89 late pace number. It was like 13 and a half seconds final for long. But he also was coming back off a 3 week rest. Only had one work. That it was a hard race that he could benefit from. The next race will be the key challenge. He's going to the Rebel. The real thing about the Rebel will be seeing how he relaxes, how he settles, even if he's on the front end. Whether or not he can switch off in the early going, because he's shown a ton of speed running 21 and change and 44 and change in both starts. But he's built to go long, obviously has the pedigree in the build, and is very exciting at this point. In the Sam Davis, Sol Vellante got the job done. Independence Hall was a little bit headstrong in the early going, pulling hard against Jose Ortiz. Came up a little short in the stretch. Sol Vellante ran by him to win going away by open lengths. You know, he's kind of performance. You want to see that horse come back and prove it. But in his favor, he did finish fast. He got solid speed, late pace numbers. That was his second dirt start, first win on dirt for Patrick Biacone. So he's an interesting late runner at this stage.
Very good. What did you bet anything else?
I did make a small wager on Silver State. I tabbed him in a little blog I did on the Pool 2. Definitely, there's some question whether or not he'll be better suited to turf in the long run. But I was willing to give him a pass for that runner-up Everett and LeCon. I thought he still was like a little bit, learning about, the racing game. Wasn't too comfortable on the far turn. But once Santana got him in the clear in the stretch, I thought he finished full of run. And we'll see if he can continue to build upon that in the first division of the Risen Star this Saturday.
Very good. Other impressions from the racing side?
Well, I mean, obviously, really geared up for this card tomorrow at Fairgrounds. Before we get to that, though, you know, thought I might mention a little Turfway this evening if you wanted to get into that.
Sure.
All right. Well, they have the John Battaglia Memorial tonight at Turfway. It's a mile 16th race in the Pauley. The prep for the Jeff Ruby Stakes Grade 3 Kentucky Derby points race on March 14th. And we got a full field in there, a full field of 12. Mike Maker, Wesley Ward, got a couple horses. To me, the horse that looks the front runner in there that I like the best, but he's actually my second pick, is Invader. I like his maiden win. I thought he got good experience in some turf races early in his career for Ward, $500,000 yearling by Warfront. Really ran a big race last time to break his maiden by 12. I thought that was a sharp effort. I'm a little bit questioning number 5, High Holy, off that sprint where it went, where he had everything his own way and was well off the rail the entire way. A little bit, interested to see if he can get two turns or not. The horse I did land on, though, was number 3, Artemis Eagle. And he broke his maiden at Keeneland 3 starts back in a maiden claimer where really didn't beat much that day. But his next start came on the Poly at Turfway, and he broke poorly that day. Was all rank in the early going, never really settled into a good stocking trip, and ran an even 4th. Last time he improved, I thought, significantly upon that for Mike Maker. Really settled into a good stocking trip. Moved up on his own accord on the far turn, and the jock didn't even ask him until the stretch, and he won. I thought, convincingly. Even though that margin's a length, you can watch that replay. Martin Garcia really had a lot of horse left. I think he'll move forward off that race, stretching out to a mile of 16th. He'll get a good trip. He got a solid speed number for that effort, and I think he's going to win the Battaglia tonight. Number 3, Artemis Eagle.
That's actually who I also landed on. I thought had the right style for this joint, and High Holy from Darren Miller and Silverton is going to get attention. It's got to, navigate the stretch out. But I thought, and 5-1, I don't know if we'll get 5-1, but it is a big field, and horses gravitate mm-hmm. Price-wise all over the place. So
yeah, and Martin Garcia was riding at Turfway in December. He's obviously at Oaklawn now. But Rafael Hernandez, he rode some like at Hop Brown for the Maker and the Ramseys last year. He swept both the Battaglia and the Jeff Ruby Stakes. So I like seeing him pick up the mount as well.
It hadn't occurred to me until now to look for other mounts. And we'll check and see if he's actually getting there. But how about Joe Bravo named on Hail to the Chief?
I know. That was a pretty solid effort, too, that maiden win that day. He showed some improving form in his first two races for Wesley Ward. It was a solid race. He was in a real dogfight in mid-stretch that day, and then won, going away in the end. So it's a good race to keep building upon. And, yeah, he's worth a look as well, at least underneath, I think, behind Artemis Eagle.
Interesting. I'm gonna shoot Joe and see if that was just being named, or if he's actually coming in for the one mount. We'll find out here before we get off the air today. Okay. So that Turfway. Any interest in the trophy, in the Cincinnati Trophy?
I took a look at that. I think Fast Dan or Anna's Fast, she'll be a big favorite in there. I thought that was a little workmanlike. She was coming off a 6-month layoff. I like Rising Seas for Colebrook. I thought that was a good win last time. It was in the slop, but I like the way she did it. But the runner-up came up to her that day, and she turned her back and was never going by her. So I think she has more to offer and could get the right trip on the front end with Corey Lanner.
That Karak for Breeze Easy and Wesley Ward, the Karakantai. And it's funny. Karakantai is all of a sudden, everywhere I looked this weekend as I was handicapping, I must have seen like 6 Karakantais. And going into last weekend, with Sol Volante, I don't know if I'd seen 2. And all of a sudden this weekend, his name kept jumping off the pages. It's kind of funny. But Karak.
Sol Volante. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I wonder what the story is, backstory behind him, because his dam is like a sister to an Irish Classic winner and another English Classic winner, Philly, and to another English Highway, and has already produced a Grade 3 winner. And he sold for $6,000 as a yearling and $20,000 as a two-year-old OBS, two-year-old in training. And I just have to think, heck, you know, he didn't bet right or something, because just on pedigree, you would think his he would be worth more than that.
Well, you could listen to Patrick Bean Cone from his visit the other day, and you can get everything you want to know.
There you go. I miss that.
Let's turn to Saturday and all the good action, particularly in New Orleans. And I know you got a couple of other spots that you looked at, including the Laurel Boys race, the Miracle Wood. But let's start at Fairgrounds and the Two Risen Stars.
Okay, yeah, I'll just work my way back. The second division, I just thought that division came up weaker than the first. I don't think there's a lot of pace in there, and with an ODR adding blinkers, I just could just project him getting a really favorable trip. And if he doesn't win from a good spot turning for home, that'll be enormously disappointing, I think. I took a look at Major Fed, a little bit worried, because I thought it was a really good looking win the way he drew off late, but he didn't corner very well. He sort of blew the turn that day. A horse that does intrigue me coming off a maiden win is number one, Modernist. Now, obviously, that last race had a really false pace, but once again, I like the way he finished in the stretch there. He looks like he's moving forward. He won't be on the lead tomorrow, but he could set a good trip in mid-pack and have something left to offer in the stretch. So it's Authentic Dior's race to lose, but Modernist is worth a little bit of a look in my estimation.
You know, and I'm kind of glad to hear you say this, because you know, value your opinion, obviously, but also when I looked at it, I said, you know, people are saying, oh, they're so wide open and oh, it's so competitive. And I thought, if Anno Dora runs his race, how did you beat him? And the one thing that people should be aware of, and yes, he got beat by 1,000 Words at Los Al, but I will say this. Los Al has a stretch that is in the same vein as Fairgrounds. So some of those horses that are going to be, negotiating that 1,308 feet, some of those horses that are going to be begging for the wire, at least Anno Dora has had that kind of long stretch run. And, maybe the hood makes the difference for him. I agree. I thought he was not just the horse to beat, but way the horse to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the first division, that has five of the top six finishers from the LeCompte back in there, plus Blackberry Wine. And now Blackberry Wine is obviously, I think, a pretty exciting horse. I almost think when Digital's jock took a little bit of a hold, and last time he wound up on the lead by default, so I look for him to actually most likely sit like second or third. But that was a really sharp finish that day. And obviously, it was a promising colt for Joe Sharp. An interesting horse, I thought, a little bit, was Shaw Shake Me Up, just because, it looks like Ready to Roll could show some speed and some other horses as well outside. But, he has the potential to be sent from by Graham. And Post 12 did him no favors last time. I thought he was just a little bit interesting as a long shot, perhaps more like underneath, hold on for part type horse. And then, of course, Enforceable, I think he's in with a chance again. I really like the way he improved upon his two juvenile stakes starts last time. And Silver State. The thing with Silver State to me was watching a replay his race in the LeCompte. He missed the start. I mean, he just broke. He got out of the gate all funny and was too far back. I look for them to Ricardo Santana to try to establish better positioning tomorrow. Look to sit like mid pack, fifth or sixth, and be in a better spot turning for home. So he is intriguing to me. I'm gonna give him the side edge.
And by the way, I can tell you regarding going back to Turfway for a second, Joe Bravo not going to Northern Kentucky tonight. He's he'll be replaced on that call in the Battaglia. Okay, so FYI.
And all right, you want me to go on to Rachel Alexander? I'm sorry. Did you want to add anything about that person?
No, that was it. No.
Okay. In the Rachel Alexander, obviously the two horses that beat are British Idiom, Champion 2-year-old Filly, and Finite, coming off three straight stakes wins for Steve Asmussen. But neither one of those horses have run very fast from a numbers perspective. And I am a little bit intrigued in here, Steve, by number one, His Glory. And the reason for that is that last time she drew outside Ursula, and Ursula wound up setting that pace. And even though she hung in to be a next second, you know, it looked like they had her turning for home. And I wouldn't be surprised if Stidham, you know, wants to perhaps just sit a little bit more tomorrow and try to finish up better this time. And that could leave James Graham on the lead all by himself with this His Glory. She has the top Bristnet speed rating in the field for a dominant wire-to-wire win at a mile and 16th at Churchill Downs in late October. Caught a sloppy track in the Goldenrod. She showed in the mud earlier she can't run a step in it. And last time in that Silver Bullet day, like I said, she didn't make the lead that day. And, you know, just was up close and wound up, like, weakening a little bit in the stretch, but was only beat three lengths. Amos comes back tomorrow, adds blinkers, and I think she's going to send from the rail. And she's got a chance to potentially upset him. I'm going to use her in all my bets. She's my top pick in there, His Glory.
Well, I don't have to remind anybody about what transpired for those of you that cashed Amos in this race, 3 years ago? Was it 3 or maybe even 4 years ago now at 40-1 or whatever it was? That helped propel Ray Arsenault into his NHC championship. In fact, that's when he qualified off of her that day.
Didn't she close like Valentina? Are you talking about the Valentina or something?
Yep.
She went last the first, though. He'll be looking to steal this race.
No, well, that and the whole idea behind her in that spot was, in fact, the pace. I mean, I said to him, he happened to be on, I think, you know, Wednesday that week, and I said, you must have thrown her in there hoping for a pace collapse. He said, exactly, and that's exactly what they got. Pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. And then, like I said, Fairgrounds has a $400,000 guaranteed late all stakes pick four. Kicks off with the Fairgrounds handicap on turf. I'm going with the one horse, Steve, Wound Tight. I like how this five-year-old California bred gelding has moved forward in his last two starts for Bob Hess. I thought that was a really sharp win last time at Santa Anita. And I look for Kent DeSormo to send him. Seeing these California shippers come in and run big there. No better example. Last year, Beau Recall came in there and before she then went on and beat Got Stormy at Churchill on Derby Day. And I don't see a lot of pace in this race. And I just think he's going to get a good trip from the rail. I'll also use Synchrony. He always runs big off layoffs at Fairgrounds. He is 7 years old. But those are the two I want in the Fairgrounds stakes.
I got to mention Marcus reporting that Wound Tight is coming out of that race.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. You know, with that being said, I'll mention number 13, Spectacular Jim, in there. He's 20-1 on the morning line. He's a horse for the course there. I thought that last time in that wood chopper, he was in tight early. He was tossing his head. You know, he'd been running the lead in his recent starts. But once Graham got him settled in that race, he really finished well down the middle of the course to just miss. He's run well at Fairgrounds every time he's been on the course. And that was a good effort to improve upon. A little bit of a sneaker in there.
Excellent. That's a horse certainly we've discussed plenty at these parts, and was delighted for Jim Baker after the frustrating DQ and subsequent stake win. What else we got? Any interest? Mineshaft starts the black gold for those that are that play it.
Yeah, I'm probably, you know, I may even use that like in a there's a pick four in that race. And, but to me, it's just like Silver Dust race to lose. I know, you know some people might take a little bit of a opinion. He could be vulnerable off that big win last time. But I think he could set the right trip. And I just think he's arguably coming on, still going as good as ever at age six right now for Brett Calhoun. Loves the fairgrounds. And like I said, I just think he's going to get the right trip.
Nice. I'm a big fan. Big fan of Silver Dust.
And I'll mention, you know, when you came on, you were talking about that Oaklawn Park opening day angle. There's a horse in at Oaklawn tomorrow in the last race, Black Cat Taps.
Yep.
In her first, and she ran in that last race that Ortiz won with that long shot wire to wire, and she came out of the gate and got absolutely squeezed after the start. And then Talamo ran her right into traffic on the far turn. She had to angle out into the stretch. I think she's eligible to improve. That's a filly I like. She's a pretty tough little allowance there, but she's 8-1 on the morning line and is a definite trip horse in that vein that I'll have a few dollars on tomorrow.
Excellent. And I know you looked at the Wide Country before we wrap up.
I did. Yeah, the Wide Country. Boy, Dreams Untold, spectacular win last time. I know it was on flop, and, you know, that's always a little bit of a worry. You know, people remember Hidden Scroll last year. But his first race, he ran well that day, galloped out in front. I think that horse has the good. I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's by Smarty Jones out of his Seattle Slough mare. I mean, Cannonade, like on his first pedigree page, old female. Dan was 18 when he was born. But he was pretty good. The horse, though, that I will mention is Lebda, number one. Stayed on the rail the entire way on the half on December 28 at Laurel Park, but that was an outside rallying track. The two front-running winners were well off the rail the entire way. He was on the worst part of the track, looked like he could win in a mid-stretch, eligible to improve big time off that race for Claudio Gonzalez.
Excellent. Hammer's going to join us right now, so rather than say goodbye, anything else, James, floating around?
No, that's pretty much that's all I got right now, Steve.
All right, very good, and we'll look forward to a big weekend. And we don't have to wait too long. It's really a 4-day weekend of racing between what's going on today and all the way through to Holiday Monday. And Hammer's going to join us here right now, and we'll thank James Scully. You follow James? Not that he's a big tweeter, but. Still worth following, and you can ask him any capping questions or say thank you for Scully pushes that regularly build your bankroll. We'll stay here and head out to Hot Springs. It's a busy day in the racing office at Oaklawn because of the Monday holiday card and the three graded stakes coming up on Monday. Hammer, good morning. Yeah, let's try that again. I think we lost them. Yeah, Casey, when that happens and I see the dots that Casey's typing something, that typically means we lost them. So, all right, Casey will get him back. And, he says he's on. Okay. All right. So he'll try that again. All right. Well, in addition, rather than start something, I just wait for him to come back. Since I don't think we'll circle back to Laurel, given that James looked at the boys' race, here's a quick glance at the girls. And down inside, Mike Trombetta has got one for Josh Ponce, Belle Aurora. Down inside. It kind of comes from off the pace, so Pimentel will save ground all the way. And I thought that one was, you know, 3-1. You can't really argue with, you know, how she comes in. And actually, Jonathan Maldonado has a horse that granted, it was in the slop, an allowance win in the slop, but has come back and ran well twice more. Naughty Thoughts at 5-1. Those were the two I thought. Let's try it again with Hammer, and out to Oak Lawn we go. Rick.
Good morning.
There it is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, finally. Yeah, what a weird day. This has been a weird day to begin with, but sorry about the confusion getting through it. My phone works only in certain spots here.
I said that. I told everybody that.
But I did. We finally ordered some kind of connection. I talked to Verizon, and some contraption they sent without instructions. So we'll be working on that. But anyway, happy Valentine's Day to you and everybody. And it's a cold one here. I got to say, we got up this morning and it was 25. but it's not going to rain for the next 3 or 4 days. It's going to be cold. And I said, well, I'm going to send this off to Steve. And then I said, well, wait a minute. So I checked where you are, and it was 15. So I said, I better not send it. So, no training today. It's only the second day, which is fine. And like I said, everybody just kind of reacts here. No problem. No training this morning. Try to get the track open around 10 and send the horses out for an hour or two and, get them, let them stretch their legs when they're supposed to be into the 30s by then. But they sure know what to do. They have no problems here. And like we've mentioned before and you've heard before, there's no, it's a state park, national park, so there's no chemicals allowed to put into the track, which I think in the long run probably works out better. So they can't put any artificial, defreezer elements in there. So it's just, it's called the natural state. So there you go. When it's ready, they train. So it's been interesting here, but it's been a crazy morning. So normally we're taking entries for the next week, but because of the Monday racing, today we're taking entries for the holiday Monday card here, which I think there's an opening day, of course, but this kind of signifies it's time to rock and roll here. I've had a few of the horses run over the grounds, and maybe a few of the horses that we expect to run today in the inner in the stakes have shown their faces, but some haven't. And start off with a really, really good card on Saturday. Sunday is a nice day, and it's a hat giveaway here, so that'll keep the crowds coming in. And then Monday, end up the weekend with the three stakes with the Baikoa, a real good rendition of the Razorback we're hoping for. And then, of course, the Southwest, which really kicks off the three-year-old season here. So really looking forward to that. Wanted to throw in a thank you last week to Jeff Taylor, who came on and gave a few little nuances that go on here at Oakland Park. And I think he was right on with a couple things and actually gave out a couple of winners to the folks. But as the weather changes here and the track changes, a couple things to look out for. But one of the things he said that caught me that in general, if it's the weather's not, the track's not sloppy or anything, there really is no bias here. I think we've seen that. I mean, if you're a speed horse and you're low speed, you got a chance to win. But if you get hooked, there's somebody coming all the time. And it doesn't matter whether it's on the outside or the inside down the stretch. That's what's really caught my eye. You see horses coming, but they don't necessarily have to come, 3, 4, 5 wide. But anyway, I want to thank him for coming on and really enjoyed your and Pete's coverage in Vegas. I'm sure I got to just go there one time and just kind of feel the action in the room. I think it's got to be kind of cool.
Oh, without fail. And there was 1 year, was it last year or the year before, that you literally were like in the driveway and something occurred and you couldn't come. And 1 year the car broke down 1 year.
I think that might have been last year because I wasn't working. And something happened. I had a zig instead of zag, but I'll get there.
All right.
Like I said, 4 days in Vegas to me is, I don't think I've ever done it. Well, not knowingly anyway, but it seems like a good crew and I hear everybody talking about it. And one day I'd like to obviously be at a table and kind of feel that little bit of excitement. But, you and Pete do a great job keeping everybody up. But, it's kind of time to start talking about three-year-olds. And I saw the new lift with Jay, and I'm gonna start calling him Smarty McGee now. That's my new deal for him, Smarty McGee, and Jay, and they got a list of, I think, about, was it 2025, and not many of those are in action this weekend. Sitting back and waiting for the next big round, but there is action that you mentioned earlier. The Fairgrounds has a really good card this weekend. They split the Risen Star, and so they had 23 horses in there, and we're hoping to get 9 or 10 here. So it's going to be over 30 horses in this region running for points. One of the reasons the Risen Star split, obviously, it's a 40-point race, so it's basically a win and you're in race. And I don't blame people for heading for the points right now. Money. It's not bad money, 400, but 40 points is good. And so if you add up the 23 horses there and the 8, 9, or 10 that we're going to get, like I said, over 30 horses, I counted up over 20 of those horses have won the total of one race. So we got a lot of late starters here, and I kind of asked myself the question: Are we going to see the Derby winner run in either one of these three races this weekend? I don't know. Unless somebody really steps up, maybe not. But the heavy heads are in the weight, and it's time to start looking. I did question one thing. I see they have the race here is a Grade 3 750, and it's worth 10 points. And the El Camino Real in L.A. in the Bay Meadows is an ungraded 100. And that's worth 10 points as well. So anyway, the points are what they are. But what do you think this weekend? Do you think we have a Derby winner running this weekend?
No, I don't know. I'm going to say no. I'm hard pressed to not think right now that your Derby winner is based either in South Florida or in California.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I went over, and we're expecting, we're taking entries now, so we're expecting horses like Answer In, who's coming back for Brad Cox, who ran a good race at Remington in the Springboard. Todd is sending Chase Tracker here, who hasn't been seen since December and ran a good, ran third in the Nashua and came back and ran third in the Remsen. And that was kind of an interesting deal. Originally was thinking about sending the governor here. And he said, well, you're plan B. And I can't tell you what plan A is. And obviously plan A was the race at Tampa and that today, actually. So taking a little bit easier route with him. And then, he called back and said this Chase Tracker worked so good the other day, said I got to come. So Chase Tracker will come for Todd. We'll have the three Asmussen horses, I believe, coming back that ran in the Smarty Jones. Gold Street won that one. There was very sloppy conditions, took the lead and kept going. But it's three races in a row. So we'll see how that Shoplifted. And Silver Prospector, of course, remember when the Kentucky Jockey Club, he put that little check mark there for him with the race, with a good race and a win at the Churchill Downs Surface. I expect him to run a little bit better, going a little bit farther. Villainous, we're hoping, enters from Jeremiah Englehart, who broke his maiden impressively here. I think it was opening day. Brad Cox will have a horse in there, Wells Bayou. And once again, Silver Prospector, I expect to run better, has a little bit more experience than most of these, but like I said, just like that with the Risen Star, a lot of horses that have just won one race, and I don't know if it's too late to play catch up for horses like that. They haven't really shown a whole lot, so interesting to watch. But I kind of agree with you. I don't think we're in this round we're looking at the Derby winner, but it's starting to get cranked up. We've already starting to see horses, like Nadal commit to the Rebel and a couple other places, and we'll have the Rebel coming up and the Louisiana Derby. So we'll get into the next round. But another good race that we're taking entries for today is the Razorback. That's a $500,000 race for older horses here. And we ran the fifth season early in the meet, just a little tease, but this is a big race. We're hoping, once again, we're taking entries today, hoping for horses like Pioneer Spirit, Math Wizard, Snapper Sinclair, Bravazo coming back again, we hope. Campaign, Warriors Charge, Death Suite, Jovia from Greg Sacco's making the trip down here, Exulting. And so hope for a good, 8, 9, 10 horse here. I keep saying that we hope because we're taking entries today and haven't seen them, and I don't want to say someone's in there when they're not. And I can't, if they're in there, I can't really tell you they're in there anyway. So, but that's what we're expecting for those, and the Bayakoa as well. So, like I said, it's kind of starting to get the feel like the kinks are out around here. Everyone's kind of used to the routine, and this weekend is like, hey, man, let's rock.
Now it looks, don't know what the rest of the card, I didn't look at the condition book about the rest of the day's slate, but I imagine it'll be one of the highlights of the Monday ovals that are running. Anything to touch on also, Hammer, for tomorrow particularly, given that, Dixie Bell came up with kind of a small cast, but there is that allowance race that's part of the cross-country
right.
pick five.
Which race was that one? The eighth race?
The sixth.
Sixth race. Well, that's for three-year-olds. There's a couple in there to take a look at. Mike Maker has one in there for Calumet on the rail. And then Todd threw another one on the bus when he knew he was coming with the call for the other. Alpha 66 is interesting to look due to the outside. But you know what? Once again, I haven't seen a hindrance to any of the post positions, short, long, inside, outside either. So I wouldn't discount that one. There's another allowance race, a nice race, three other than type in the eighth race where we're going to see Nero in his second race back for the Asmussen barn. And Manny Waugh coming out of the Malibu for Wayne Catalano in there, kind of heads that cast. You mentioned the Dixie Bell. Mark Cassie has a real nice looking filly, especially in there on the fence. And kind of like last week when we had Taraz in the long edition, a lot of people sitting back and watching and see what's going on. It's a real filly, tough division sometimes this time of year. And then a nice allowance race at the 10th race to hand out the card. Filly's going, three-year-old filly's going long for the first time, first condition. I mean, Perfect Happiness, who she ran huge here early in the meet for Larry Jones. And there's another one in there. She's a daredevil, Brian Cox, it's the first time I've raced with him consistently, in and out. What a nice guy he is. I mean, not that that means anything, but it does when you're dealing with people. Very knowledgeable, happy to be here. And, boy, he's really sneaking up to be one of the top trainers in all kinds of categories anymore. He used to be Brad, and I call him Brian Cox. Anyway, I'm thinking football. Brad Cox just seems to be, he's not one of those guys, he's a turf trainer, he's got sprinters, or he's got everything, and boy, is he doing a great job with all of them. So one of those kind of, I would call him up and comer, but, he's really a guy that you want to root for. So we're glad to have him on the scene, and he's doing well, so keep your eye on him and all kinds of races, but he'll be filling up the maiden races and the allowance types and the stakes as well. So, anyway, it's been a real good. I feel part of the environment here now after being here 3-4 weeks, and it's really cool. Like I said, I think this weekend is going to really kind of pump everybody up and set the stage for the rest of it. They keep telling me, wait till March, and in the fishing boats and everybody and the sunshine comes out. Well, I'm going to be here. I'm waiting till March, and we'll be ready.
It's not far
that,
off,
but.
Not
but
far
no,
off.
It's not far off. So, no, it's all good.
Hammer, I appreciate it. We're going to talk more about Oaklawn actually after the top of the hour with Ed Peters. And in fact, that sixth race has no less than four horses coming out of the Wells Bayou win, the allowance win back on opening Sunday. And Ed's
right.
going to talk
about
those playbacks.
I heard you talking when you were introduced to this morning. Absolutely, because there were a few days in there earlier on those rain days when, you went to the front and, see you later, which doesn't happen too often except for those. And those wins, like there was one yesterday that came back, John Sadler.
Yep, Bullion.
Right, and, like, hey, man, he's running against the same field. But, and he was 2-1, which is, he should have been probably a good price, but definitely a horse you could play against, and there's probably a few others that day. either that looked better than they should have and others that got hindered. So it'll be interesting to hear what Ed has to say. So because the temperature and the wetness and things change around here on a daily basis. So you really do need to be cognizant of the way things were playing. But by and by, you just want to play it unless it's extreme one way or the other. The track does play fair, and that's what I'm seeing, and we're seeing some good prices. So anyway, still got time to go out there and get some chocolates or flowers or something. Sneak it in there. So get that done. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. I'll say Happy Valentine's Day to Gina, my wife, who I haven't seen in a while, and my daughter Lindsay. So we'll get that out.
So well done.
Even if I right. Got to do that. Thank you very much. And happy Valentine's Day to Tina, too. So
thanks,
always
Aaron.
Great to talk to you guys, and enjoy the day, and we'll have a great weekend.
You too. Hammer, everybody. And we'll recap particularly the big holiday Monday when we talk next week. Let's take a break. And, of course, the Rebel, 3 weeks away as well. And we're already getting rumored horses or close to confirmed, like Nadal. Let's take the break here, top of the hour. Ed Peters, the player known as Fantini, he's going to join us next. Nick Tamaro ahead, and Ed DeRosa as well. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back.